The Winecomb's comedy night was essentially a one-off, but the very idea of doing something new of this sort could catch on, because the city really needs a workable hub for introducing unseen talent, and perhaps later local emerging talent on the local night spot's niche circuit, and this snug setting worked quite nicely. It was difficult to get tickets, and it did seem aimed at older age groups and parents rather than the bustle of the Portland Arms, which caters for a wider audience. Nessie Ward, who's organising a range of comedy events, was compere for the Winecomb's comedy night and introduces the first of two shows, a second planned for another venue. Tell me a little bit about these comedy nights. How did it come about and where do you find all these comedians?
Okay, I already run one in Deal in Kent. That's been going for 1.25 years. And then I thought I'd do one here, and I know the owner, Hal, who owns Cambridge Wine Merchants, so I asked him and he said yes, and then I liaise with the manager here, and then because I do loads of gigs in London and I run another club, I get to know loads of comedians and they recommend other comedians to me.
And are you yourself a comedian? What's your background?
Well, I was a teacher for 35 years. I've just retired from teaching, was going bonkers. So I did a comedy course last year. I've only done 80 gigs. These have done thousands of gigs. Yeah. So I'm the amateur, very, you know.
Where did you do your course?
In London, a Logan Murray course for 2 months.
And your comedians, they seem to come from far afield, from India and Kenya, and where else do they come from?
Canada, America, Egypt, lots of different ones. Yeah.
And why did they want to come to Cambridge? What was the attraction of being here?
I think it's because they do loads in London, just to get out and do one where it's not just comedians. They love it where there's a proper audience.
The setting is the well-known Cambridge Wine Merchants in Cherry Hinton Road, which gives you an intimate seating space and a really wide choice of wines and snacks to quaff down as the entertainment's happening. This fast-moving show featured a group of six quite experienced stand-up comedians. The lineup was led in by Indian Sindhu V, a Funny Women's Award finalist in 2013 and a new Comedy Awards finalist in 2016. She played heavily on the differences between Indian and British culture, its impact on family life and the comic situations that these give rise to. She tickled people pink at times with her play on accents and words, delivering some really funny punchlines, and her skill for anecdotes was easily the best in the lineup.
Recently, I was in India a month ago. In the middle of the day, a man walked up to me and he gave me a business card and it said, "Are you alcoholic?" And I thought, how does he know? It said, "Are you alcoholic? We can help. Call 97123 whatever, whatever. Home liquor delivery." This should tell you the difference. And also, I mean, in relationships, you know, things are very, very different between Danes and Indians. You just have to watch their TV shows. How many of you have seen these Danish TV shows, The Killing and The Bridge?
Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, check out the themes. Second of all, have you seen how women and men deal, or women, let's start with women, deal with relationships in these? No? I mean, if a woman is done in a relationship, she'll walk up to a guy and be like, "I'm leaving you." Oh, yes. Why? It happens. Oh. Tuck. Hi. And she's gone. And she's gone. And it's we're on to the next episode. How many of you have seen a Bollywood movie? In a Bollywood movie, as a woman, I don't like you, I cry. Okay? You don't like me, I cry, I slap you, I rush home, I tell my mother she cries. Right? And then I call my friends, they come over with their mothers, and we all cry. And then at the end of the day, my dad gets home from work, he definitely cries. He might even have a heart attack, he's so sad, right? And then my brother rushes off to avenge me, obviously by killing you. And I cry because I think he'll die on the way. And this is the first 8 minutes of every Bollywood movie. So you can see, culturally, it's very different. So Christmas makes me happy because they become a little bit more Indian, yay.
But Jeremy McGrath gave us a refreshing take on Africa and the mismatch between life on the ground there and what people in the West think. From Kenya herself, she was humour in the middle of two worlds.
So, I am from Kenya. Do you remember Kenya, British people?
Yeah.
So, obviously Kenya, I only just got it. Oh yes, that happened. But Kenya is obviously very famous for its marathon runners, and it's always the men doing long distances. Like, when I was 14, my father did a marathon, didn't come back until I was 13. To be fair to my dad, he did say that was not his personal best. It's great though. But Kenya is doing very well economically. We have some of the fastest growing economy in the world. So we can now look down on poorer countries. Greece. But the one thing that you don't know when you grow up in Africa is how badly we are portrayed by the Western media. Wouldn't you agree? The portrayal of Africa by the Western media is terrible. And this is why people have got no respect for Africans whatsoever. And the commercials are just like so cringeworthy. And I know people, like you guys, do a lot of work for charity, but I think maybe they should do a little bit of research first, because like Oxfam is still saying things like, we are going to dig another well in Africa. And the Africans are like, Wi-Fi! Please make it Wi-Fi! Not another dumb well, please. Jesus, quit the digging of wells, man. And there's a long-running commercial that says that give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, feed him for life. You all remember that one? And I'm like, stop teaching Africans how to fish. Most of Africa is desert. It's 60% desert. Now there's a lot of very frustrated African fishermen in the Sahara. That's right. And I never got it. You know, I've grown up in Africa all my life. I never got it why Africa is portrayed so badly. And then I remembered that it is the collusion between the Western governments and the Western media somehow for justification of slave trade, colonialism, and the continued exploitation of Africa. But don't worry, because we got the power back. This is why Africans work as traffic wardens. Every time we slap you, you either take it, call it reparations.
Here's Steve McLean from Walthamstow, shooting from the hip at the audience about life in London suburbs and easily recognisable product packaging and signage, which he brought with him, and how that opened to misinterpretation with hilarious consequences.
Walthamstow has got Europe's longest market.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice fabric.
It's also Europe's shittest market. We've got very different tastes in market. Yes. What do you like? Why is it so brilliant?
It's a nice fabric.
Nice material.
Yeah,
You can. It's me. It's wall-to-wall pound shops. There's a Poundland, and next to that, there's a 99p store. And next to that, there's a 98p store. Oh, man. I was in a pound shop a couple of weeks ago, and I came across this. Can everybody see this? I'm holding the light. Can you all see this? Yeah? Can you all see this? I mean, there's not many of you, and I can just pass it round.
Come on, Kirby.
Who gets their mountain earring supplies from a pound shop?
An inventive Ian Lane was very interactive and delivered punchlines with timing.
Right, yeah, how's your life going, sir? It's good to see you sat at the VIP table. An upturned barrel and a Fisher-Price chandelier. That's fantastic. Really is worth paying that extra 20 pence, isn't it? How is your life? Have you got a television? Yeah, flat screen?
Yeah, nice big one.
Yeah, you got a microwave?
Yeah.
Flat screen? Yeah, not so good at flat screen microwaves, are they? Not unless you want to heat up some naan bread. My favourite food, thanks for asking, is ZZ's. You know these restaurants, ZZ's? Been to ZZ's? No. My favourite thing about ZZ's, right, they had this Father's Day competition this year where if you tweeted what made your dad special, you could win his face on a pizza. I was well up for that, so I tweeted them to say, my dad was recently in a horrible car accident. Would we be able to get ours as a calzone? Didn't win, guys. I'm just glad you guys are listening to me, to be honest. I'm aware this accent is a bit of a difficult sell, isn't it? It's the glottal stops of the working class combined with the smug nasalness of the middle class, isn't it? Worst of both worlds. Like a sausage roll dipped in hummus.
Malcolm Head, himself an unlikely assistant police library archivist from Kent Police, improvised from a handful of notebooks, adapting the plot as he went, and to the audience reactions. He later hit the bongo drums with his poetry, but here he is in midstream.
This next one is called Trousers. Bit longer, but it's still short.
I didn't even think that was a joke until you made that noise. That was a genuine accident. That is a quality of my comedy. This is called Trousers. A man named Brian Trousers says his full name to a woman over the phone. Trousers, she says, surprised. Trousers, Brian calmly repeats. Did you get a lot of stick at school? She asks. Not especially, says Brian. Sometimes people would pull my trousers off and then shout, where's your trousers, Trousers? But that soon stopped after I started carrying a knife. The woman processed Brian's electric payment without any further questions.
I was left with the feeling that I could certainly enjoy more of this, and from this group the best jokes seemed yet to come. They made a good mixed bag, and the audience certainly felt satisfied.